Sargon looked around and frowned. "Ah, shit," he said. "I'm in command now. Let's report this. With luck, Grant will be waiting for us at the base camp, but look out, she'll be pissed off."
"Pissed at who?" I asked. "We killed the lizards that got her."
"Oh, no," he said. "We won't get away with that. It will be our fault somehow, probably yours to be specific."
"Why should she make a big deal out of it?"
"This is probably the first time she's been in command in a combat situation. By dying in the field, she's probably blown her chances of advancing to veteran anytime soon. Veterans aren't supposed to get their heads bitten off from behind while the rest of the team survives. It looks bad."
I understood. It was the type of logic the Legion Varus used all the time when considering people for advancement. They didn't believe in luck, and they didn't reward failure.
Chapter 7.
When we made it to base camp at the foot of the Black Cliffs, Anne Grant was there. I found that to be amazing. The technology was so far beyond anything we could do on Earth. The system that grew a new body for the dead was a benefit of galactic trade. Some planet somewhere made the machines and sold them for credits. Since copying fallen soldiers was extremely useful to a military unit that sees a lot of death, our legions all had at least one. Varus, I'd learned, had several. One additional unit stayed aboard Corvus at all times. The other was deployable and had been brought here by means I didn't understand yet. The light troop regulars weren't interested in talking to me about it either. I suspected Legion officials had shipped the unit to our target world under guard, to be set up by whoever had signed the contract. Once in a system, Corvus dropped the troops and downloaded our data. The revival units always had work to do after we'd dropped. I didn't get to see the machine itself. It remained under heavy guard inside a puffcrete bunker they'd just fabricated and sunk into the ground. I was curious, but no one cared to satisfy the curiosity of a recruit. The freshly revived biospecialist, on the other hand, was interested in us. As soon as Grant came staggering out of that bunker, she wanted us all hung. When we reached the camp, tired and haggard, she didn't let us reunite with our units and have a shower and something to eat. She pounced immediately. In her wake was Centurion Graves. While we were still out of earshot, Sargon leaned closer and said,
"She's not going to let this go easily. She has to blame it on someone other than herself."
I saw what he meant. The bio was furious. Graves, however, wore his usual stern, impassive expression.
"You too?"
the Centurion asked, looking at Weaponeer Sargon and myself.
"I might have known."
"Is there some kind of problem, Centurion?"
Sargon asked innocently. I decided to keep my mouth shut. In this situation, the Weaponeer knew what he was doing better than I did.
"Yes, there is," Grant said. She glared at each of us, but seemed to hold an extra dose of venom for me. "That's the recruit. I sent him out on point, and he led us right into an ambush. He's your man, Centurion. I expect him to be disciplined."
"I discipline all my recruits when it's required," he said.
He turned to Sargon and demanded a report. Sargon stood at attention and gave his recollection of the events that transpired. Grant glared throughout this time, and I suspected her report wasn't matching up with what Sargon was saying. His tale emphasized the use of his big weapon to personally bring down two of the three theropods. At last, Centurion Graves turned to me. His eyes were dead gray, and his face seemed to hold no expression at all.
"Which of these two accounts more closely resembles the truth in your eyes, recruit?"
I hesitated. I could support Sargon, or I could say I didn't see the details, as I was too busy dodging 15-foot-tall lizards. I certainly wasn't going to support the biospecialist's story, as it had me in the starring role of the village idiot. I decided to make a dangerous play.
Everyone sees a combat action through different eyes, I said. What I saw was three Saurians chasing me. One of them was smarter than the others and circled around. She caught the group by surprise while we were dealing with the first two. If you ask me, we were outmaneuvered. That's all. Nobody looked happy with this statement. Graves didn't react at all. He just stared at me, then nodded.
All right, he said. You were cut off. You were a straggler group, and you encountered the enemy. The team won the fight and returned with only one casualty. I say that sounds about average, given the situation. Dismissed.
He turned around and walked away. Grant glared at both of us, but she turned on Sargon, not me.
You could have covered for me. Why the grandstanding about how big your cannon is?
Sargon shook his head.
What are you complaining about? No one is in any kind of trouble. Your record will be clean. Next time, just stick to the facts, good or bad, if you're dealing with Graves. He's very businesslike.
She still seemed agitated, but less so than she had been. I could tell she was relieved. She'd been expecting to be chewed on, but it hadn't happened.
Keep your pet recruit. I'm going back to the third, she said,
then marched away. I was glad to see her go.
Just hope you never needed to call in a revive for you,
Sargon told me, laughing. He wandered off to find the rest of the non-coms. I went to my assigned bunker and joined my fellow recruits in the dimly lit interior. I could tell right away our post wasn't the best. There were already vermin crawling in from the jungle. I saw mean-looking 12-legged spiders everywhere. These things were the size of gophers, and they weren't afraid of humans either. After we'd smashed a score of them, the rest kept rearing up like angry snakes, hissing and spitting at us. Other bunkers were equipped with sealed doors, repellents, and bug zappers. The message was clear. We were the lowest of the low. My unit was made up largely of recruits, and it was part of a cohort of light troops, the least respected and most poorly equipped troops in the Legion. I felt like we were still in boot camp. No one trusted us with anything important. I would have to see my second planet to earn the privilege of moving up. We weren't allowed to lounge around in the bunker either. As this was a defensive mission against indigents, we started by building up barriers around the entrances to the mines. There was a single main entrance tunnel and a few minor ones. The main entrance had thick steel doors. Some air shafts led out to the cliffs and places high above, but we were told not to worry about those. We learned over the next day that the enemy was made up of pissed-off dino miners who wanted to raid the mines to recoup unpaid wages. The Saurians had a feudal society. The local lord was what we might have historically called a landed baron on our world. As the miners had started things by rebelling and eating all their overseers, the baron refused to pay them their wages. He'd decided to call us in to protect the mine instead.
This could turn out badly, Sargon told me.
This wasn't news to me, but I wanted to know if he had any special insight.
What's so bad about this situation? The Saurians on both sides have reason to be angry. They think they have the right to kill one another or anyone else who stands in their way.
I nodded thoughtfully. Doesn't that pretty much describe both sides in any conflict?
Normally, yes, but Saurian minds don't work quite the way ours do. They seem almost like smart beasts, but they have their own cultural norms. In this situation, both sides think they're right, and that means it will be a bloodbath.
Carlos came near me and perked up at the term bloodbath.
I don't get it, he said. What's special about this fight?
Well, it goes back to Saurian psychology, began the weaponeer.
I take it you've served here before?
Yeah, this is Steel World. Here they hire legions all the time. My second deployment was on this planet.
I see, said Carlos, standing close to us.
As he often did, Carlos had joined the conversation without being invited.
"I still don't get it," he began.
"If you'll shut up, I'll tell you." I smiled. Carlos had done it again. He was a miracle worker of irritation, but he did shut up after being yelled at, I'll give him that much.